Please stand as you're able to do so. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.
Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, by grace alone, you call us and accept us in your service. Though we are not worthy of your call, strengthen us by your Spirit that we may respond faithfully through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The first reading is from Jonah, the third chapter. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 62 responsively with me. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him.
He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, I shall not be shaken.
On God rest my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God.
Trust in him.
Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together, lighter than a breath.
Put no confidence in extortion, and set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them.
Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the seventh chapter. I mean, brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. So, I'm going to pick a word for the love of God today. That word is boundless because it fits my sermon well. So, we're going to call the love of God boundless. So, I didn't just pull that word out of thin air. Listen to the prophet Jonah. "You are a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Boundless, as in no bounds, no limits, no end. Now, just how boundless is this love? Well, there's a verse that you all may know well. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Merciful, gracious, steadfast, boundless love. Now my question for you today is, are you in or do you want out? Is this kind of love for you? Is this the kind of love that you desire? Or, like the prophet Jonah, do you want to flee from this boundless love? This is your first of three opportunities to leave today. Ron's like, why on earth, anyway, did Jonah flee from God? And consequently, I would argue he fled from God's love. Why? I would argue that we want this love for ourselves. And we want this love for those that we love. But there's a problem with God's love that Jonah couldn't get over. For God so loved the
world.
Say it with me, the world. Oh, no. And that includes the Ninevites. Come on, God. Not just Jonah and his fellow Hebrews. Not just me. Not just you, the individual. Not just us. Not just us in the sanctuary. Not just us Lutherans. Not just us Christians even. Not just us here in the United States, us as in everyone in the world, for God so loved the world. Jeez. Everyone, really? And therein lies the rub. God's merciful, gracious, steadfast, boundless love is for everyone. Now, here is where I need us all to be very honest with ourselves. I need you to think of someone. I need you to think of a group of someones. I need you to think of a group or multiple groups you just don't like. Thank you. Lydia's point was that's easy. I bet that's probably true for you. They act in ways, it's true for me. They act in ways that are counter to our beliefs. They have beliefs we might not like or even hate. Maybe they're cruel to us. Maybe they're cruel to others. Maybe they're cruel to our families. Now, you have a name in mind? You have a group in mind? Can you picture them? I hope it's not the guy you're looking at. Is your hatred seething just thinking about them? And if so, I have very bad news. God gave God's son for that person or that group too. Come on, God! That's how much God loves that person that you don't. God's merciful, gracious, steadfast, boundless love, it doesn't stop at us. It extends even to our enemies. So are you still in? Here's chance number two. You can get out. See you, Mike. Since he sat back down and no one's fleeing to the exits, I'm guessing you're still in for now. Our friend Jonah famously twice, actually, in this very short book of Jonah, 4 chapters. You could go read it today after church in like 20 minutes. He just walks in the other direction. He says, I'm out. That's right, because Jonah wanted out. Because he knew that he served a gracious and merciful God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And God was getting ready to extend this love to the people that he hated. Jonah said, if that's the kind of love you're dealing in, God, I don't want it. The Ninevites. They didn't deserve God's love, did they? And they didn't deserve to hear about God's love from a Hebrew prophet of all people. These were Assyrians, Ninevites. They were Assyrians. Nineveh was their capital. And they had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel, scattered its 10 tribes, and sent them into exile. These are the people whose one-time leader, King Sennacherib, he destroyed a Jewish city, a Judean city of Lachish, and created a museum in his palace to celebrate this conquest and other conquests. And in the carvings that he put in that in that museum, there were carvings of Assyrians flaying men alive. It's pretty terrible. These are the people, the Ninevites, about whom the prophet Nahum says, another Israelite prophet, "Woe to the bloody city that is full of lies and booty, that is Nineveh. For upon whom has not come your unceasing evil?" These Ninevites, their evil didn't stop.
It went everywhere,
right? If there were ever a people for whom God's love needed to be bounded, a people whom God should not extend his grace and mercy, a people that deserved destruction at the hands of an angry God, the Ninevites were that people. They needed to be destroyed. Now, take you back a few minutes. When I asked to think of someone or multiple someone or a group or groups of people that you don't like or maybe you hate, put differently, we all know some Ninevites, don't we? We all have Ninevites. Who are yours? Who are your Ninevites? Got mine in mind. Okay, you have yours? Who are the people or groups of people that should rightly reap a harvest of destruction? Maybe not literally destroyed by sulfur and fire, like we could imagine God destroying Nineveh, but they need to be destroyed as in defeated, as in we win and they lose. Our viewpoints win, and their stupid thoughts and feelings and viewpoints are revealed to be just that, stupid and ignorant. And they are humiliated. They are discredited. And that's what we want for our Ninevites, isn't it? Jonah did. He desired wrath and destruction, not mercy and steadfast love. So, last chance. Yeah, you're all still here. Keep going. Is this love for you? The infamous tale of Jonah and the whale, or more rightly, a big fish. Jonah flees. That's how it begins. God calls him and Jonah flees. But then it becomes a story about God's relentless, his reckless pursuit of an angry, disgruntled, disenchanted child of God. The Lord was there when he went down to Joppa, when he went down to the hold of the ship, when he went down to the bottom of the sea, and finally, when he went down into the belly of a great fish. And God was there when he came up, then vomited up onto this sandy, beautiful Mediterranean beach. And God said, "You're not staying here on this beach. You are going to Nineveh." So Jonah went because he didn't want to get eaten by a fish again. So God was there when Jonah began his walk and delivered the most boring, the most droning, the most repetitious, and the most effective sermon ever delivered by a biblical prophet. It was a 5-word in Hebrew, 8 words in English, oracle. "Yet 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown." Don't count there. I might have said that wrong. But God was there when Jonah saw the Ninevites repent, and God saw it too. And God did exactly what Jonah knew all along God was going to do. God relented. And Jonah was happy, right? He was pumped. He was like, "All right, I'm a really good prophet." Of course not. We hear this at the beginning of Jonah chapter 4. It was evil to Jonah that God turned away from God's plans of destruction, and his anger burned in him. He cried out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, did I not tell you this when I was in my own land? That is why I fled in the first place, when you first spoke to me. For I knew that you are a God who is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And you're so ready to turn away from your ways of destruction." Jonah was mad. And now, O Lord, take my life from me, for death is better for me than life. Jonah does not want any of this love. He says, if your love is really boundless, God, if it is really for all people, even these evil Ninevites, if it really is for this whole world, I want out. Not just out of a job as a prophet, not just out of one of your Hebrew people, but out, as in take me out of this world, because I don't want to live in a world where you love them as much as you love me. Said it before. We all have our own Ninevites. I ask you to think of them. I ask you to imagine. So do it one more time. Think of their ugly, disgusting, evil faces. How does it make you feel to know that God loves you just as much as he loves them? Does it make that anger burn in you? Do you seethe with anger like Jonah did? Maybe. Maybe not. And this is when Jonah flees a second time. This time he goes east. I don't know. I think it's that way. East of the city, he tries to escape his merciful God yet again, and he waits. He hopes against hope that maybe, just maybe, God will relent on his relenting and destroy Nineveh this time, and he will have a front row seat to its destruction, fire and sulfur raining down. And wouldn't you know it, God shows up again. That annoying, pesky, can't get rid of God. That relentless God Jonah knows to be merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He shows up again. And he remains merciful to Jonah, gracious to him. God isn't angry with Jonah, as we might expect. Instead, God's love is boundless. He pursues and challenges Jonah. Should not my mercy, my steadfast love and faithfulness, my boundless love extend to everyone, including the Ninevites? Should it? We don't know. Because that's where the book of Jonah ends. Intentionally on a cliffhanger. It leaves it up for us to decide how it ought to end. Should our enemies be destroyed? Or should they receive God's mercy? Make no mistake, we are Jonah. We are Jonah. We are the religious insiders. We all also have Ninevites. And maybe we even hate them for good reason. And still, if we are in, and I mean all in on this Christianity thing, ours is a God that is merciful and gracious and abounding in steadfast love and slow to anger. Ours is a God that so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Not just for us and people like us, not just for religious leaders, but for everyone. For the world. And there is a key word in there in John 3:16 that matters a lot to us. Believes. How are they to believe, the outsiders to believe, that our God is merciful and gracious, that our God's love is boundless, if we do not tell them, and I would add, if we do not show them? If we run the other way and treat them like the Ninevites that we know them to be. And if you want to go, and if you want to run, go for it. I've tried it. It's really hard to do. God will pursue you relentlessly. God will be with you everywhere it is that you try to run, and God will call you again and again and again. Or maybe you want to say yes, but you're a little bit scared. Well, I have some really good news for you and for all of us then. This isn't our work. None of this is our work. because we can all agree on something here. Jonah was a terrible prophet. He was terrible. He fled from God twice. He took a one-day walk across the city that was 3 days across. He didn't even finish his job. And then he muttered a simple prophecy on repeat. 5 words in Hebrew. He didn't even bother to tell them why they were being destroyed or how they might go about fixing it. Just the same 5 Hebrew words over and over and over. And guess what? The entire city did repent. They were saved despite Jonah's worst efforts. Jonah, he was broken. I am broken. You. Even you up there, Jeff, sorry. You are all broken. All of us are broken. And still God calls us. God walks with us, pursues us, because it is through us that God has chosen to bring God's preferred future to the here and now. Not to some faraway future, but to the here and now today. For everyone, not just for us, but for the Ninevites too. And guess what? I'm all in. I am all in because if this is a God that can use broken prophets like Jonah, if this is a God that can use know-nothing fishermen like Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John to walk with Jesus, then this God can use me despite all of my failures, despite all of my bigotries, despite all of my intolerances, despite all of the burning anger that I just can't control against my enemies. Then I want in because I need, and I think we all need, including the Ninevites, this kind of mercy and grace. We need a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And that is exactly who our God is. Boundless. And for that boundless love, I can say nothing else other than thanks be to God. Amen.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation.
God, our rock and deliverance, do not let your church be shaken. We trust you never abandon your promises to the most vulnerable among us. Give your church wisdom and empathy in this varied ministries. God of grace,
receive our prayer. God who proclaims judgment and offers mercy, be a model to the leaders of our nation and this world. Give the prophets voices to cry out against injustice and the kings of Nineveh. The wisdom to turn from wickedness. We pray that all wars may end between Hamas and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, in Yemen, Syria, and across many African nations. Raise leaders that follow in your way of justice and truth. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
God, our hope and refuge, you place the fish in the sea. Guide our care of oceans and all creatures that live in them. In areas of this country and world that rely on mountain snow for year-round water, deliver what is needed to provide sustenance. Hold us accountable for equitable sharing this precious resource with all who depend on it for life. God of grace,
receive our prayer. God who cares for the suffering, care for survivors of assault and sexual abuse, and sustain all who minister to them. Keep safe any who live under threat of violence, those living in poverty, and any among us who are ill or in pain, especially Peggy, Carol, Ed, Sally, Paul, Marianne, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Linda, Wilma, Dave, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We continue to raise to you prayers for hostages being held by Hamas, for everyone being held captive across the world, for all the incarcerated. We raise to you those civilians that have no escape in Gaza, that they may sense your peace and be released from captivity. We pray for all whose lives have been upended by war and violence, that they may find stability. God of grace,
receive our prayer.
God of resurrection and new life, as the first disciples shared the good news, empower us and this faith community to be open to the urgency of your call. When we are uncertain, assure us. When we have strayed, redirect us. When we see clearly, embolden us. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. I ask that you please share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Hey, that's
We now continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Blessed are you, Holy One, for all good things come from you. In bread and cup, you open heaven to us. Meet us at this table that we receive what we seek and follow your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and at all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join there an unending hymn. The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. And blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it. He actually started by giving thanks, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. Oops. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth.
Come, Holy Spirit.
All praise and glory are yours, one, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this table, we are all welcome. Heaven and earth are joined together as one. The Ninevites and Jonah are joined together here as one. Come and see the goodness of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Giver of every gift, Christ's body is our food, and we are Christ's body. Raise us to life by your power, for the benefit of all, and to your glory, now and forever.
Amen. You may be seated for a few announcements this morning. So, if you would like to join us for some adult education at the end of the service, we will be having that. So please stay and join us if that interests you. There's really not any other announcements in the bulletin. I do have one other announcement. So obviously we've had some changes recently with our lack of conversation about consolidation that has led to changes in our Lutheran partnership. We are still looking to partner with other Lutherans, and that would be St. Paul Lutheran Church in North Robinson. So an announcement that I made there this morning, and I am making here today, is that starting with our Lenten services, so Ash Wednesday, and the Wednesdays in Lent, and then Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, we will gather together with North Robinson. And we are looking for people to help us with that. And that's a starting point, right? So whether that moves beyond that into perhaps additional conversations, not about consolidation, but about shared ministry and whatnot, that's what we're looking at, okay? So anyone who wants to be a part of that, please let me know, let Dennis know, let any council member know. That's likely going to be meeting on the on Wednesdays. Our first one would probably be the last Wednesday of this month sometime. If we need to perhaps in the evening. If we need to move it, I'll let you. If you want to join it and that doesn't work for you, let me know. Okay? So, all right. That is it. Now, you all like to laugh, especially when it comes to laughing at me. As most of you know, there may have been a time a few weeks ago when I didn't set my parking brake on my car, and my car rolled backwards and was kept from getting into the alley by some bushes over there, okay? All right. You also know that I had some friends here last week, right? And you guys were so nice as to tell them that I did this. Well, this morning, I get a text from two of them. Galleon Gazette, local pastor tries to eliminate congregation's bushes. Another, Sierra Club files suit against anti-environmental religious group in small Ohio town. Thank you for that. I appreciate y'all sharing that. I will never hear the end of that with those guys or with you. So anyway, that's right. That's right. All right. And with that, any other announcements this morning? Yes, Ron.
Well, my suggestion was to you to make sure you always look behind.
To make sure I have a backstop? Or I could do a couple things like, I don't know, put it in gear or, you know, pull the parking brake.
Or do both.
Either would help. Please stand as you're able to do so for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Thank you.
them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him.
"Go and do likewise."